This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran of the blessings of the institution of marriage. So many verses in the Quran remind us of the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us through this institution of marriage. Allah says in the Quran, وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ From every single species, we have made it into two pairs so that you can think, you can reflect, you can ponder. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا Of His miracles, the ayah here means an indication of Allah. An ayah is an indication that Allah exists. An ayah is an indication that Allah is merciful, Allah is caring, Allah is loving. So Allah is saying, of the signs of His existence, of the signs of His perfection, of His rahmah, of His love, is what? أَنْ جَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا That He has created from you, for you. Notice how beautiful is the Quran. جَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ He has created from you, for you, azwaja, spouses. So Allah is saying, you know there's a famous book here, it says men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Allah is saying, no, both of you are from earth. جَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ Allah created the two of you from each other. You're the same species. If Allah had wanted to, Allah could have created a different creation. And in that creation, husbands and wives would literally have been different creations. But Allah is saying, no. خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ The two of you are from the same origin. You're from the same species. And the two of you are meant for each other. خَلَقَ لَكُمْ The man needs the woman needs the man. The husband needs the wife needs the husband. خَلَقَ لَكُمْ Without the husband, the wife is incomplete. The woman is incomplete. Without the wife, the man is incomplete. The husband is incomplete. خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا Why? What is there for each spouse? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا And this is a very beautiful verse because generally speaking, the word sukoon comes with the adverb ma'a, لِتَسْكُنُوا مَعَهَا But Allah doesn't say لِتَسْكُنُوا مَعَهَا Allah says لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا And this changes the whole meaning. تَسْكُنُوا مَعَهَا means you live with her. تَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا means you find sakina through her. You find peace through her. So Allah is saying that the spouse, each spouse finds peace, sakina, in the other spouse. Each spouse perfects the other spouse. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا You will find sakina. And sakina means what? Peace of the heart, comfort, living. And subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, those of you that are blessed with marriage, wallahi, if the marriage is good, life is good. If the marriage is good, no matter what the financial situation, no matter what the politics, when the household is good, your house, your heart, your whole sakina is alhamdulillah fine. But if there are problems in the marriage, then wallahi, if you have this whole world and all that is in it, you will not find sakina. If you have millions in your bank account, if all of society respects you, but in the privacy of your house, if your marriage is a failure, if your marriage is not working out, then wallahi, you will never find sakina in this world. Then what? Allah is saying, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And Allah has placed between the two of you mawadda. And mawadda is a very beautiful Arabic word because there are more than 10 words in the Arabic language that describe love. Now in English there's only one word, it's called love. In Arabic there are more than 10 words that are used for love. And the word mawadda is a very beautiful, very specific type of word because mawadda is a love that is a tender love. It's a love that is a love where you're concerned about the other party. This is the word mawadda. And you can use it outside the context of marriage. The primary use will be the love that a mother has for her children is mawadda. But Allah is using it for the love between the couples. Why? To demonstrate, to illustrate that the primary love that the couple should have is to care, to be concerned about the other party. To want to make sure the other party is happy. This is what mawadda is. And Allah is saying, where did this love come from? وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Allah has put that love between you. That is mawadda, that is rahmah, that mercy, that tenderness. And subhanAllah, it is amazing, brothers and sisters. And all of us that are happily married, we know this. All of us that are happily married, we know this reality. What is this reality? That the love that the couple has for each other, it is a love that is stronger than any other love before that point in time. No person has experienced the type of love that you will have for your spouse before getting married. The love that you have for your parents, the love that you have for your siblings. And the irony, your parents and your siblings, they have been there from your whole life. Then a person meets a stranger and he proposes to this stranger. And amazingly, the love that develops for this stranger in blood, in kith, in kin. You have not been born, you have not been raised with this person. Two strangers come together. And then Allah creates that love between these strangers. And they become husband and wife. And the bond that exists between the husband and wife is stronger than any other bond before that point in time. Where does that come from? وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Allah has put that love between the two of you. Indeed, my dear brothers and sisters, our Prophet ﷺ has said it as bluntly as possible. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. This whole world is a merriment and enjoyment. Nothing in this world lasts forever. This whole world is a plaything. The real world is the next, yes. And in this world, the Prophet ﷺ said, the best merriment or the best playment or the best enjoyment will be a righteous spouse. Think about this. Yes, nothing lasts forever in this world. And no doubt the next world is the ultimate life. But in this dunya, what is the best enjoyment that you can have? It's not money. It's not izzah. It's not what society says. It's not fame. It's not fortune. The best happiness is the happiness of a good marriage. The best happiness is the happiness of a good marriage. If you're happy in the house, then wallahi, if society crumbles, you can still get along. But if the household crumbles, then your heart crumbles as well. If the household is not in its proper affairs, if the household is not running smoothly, then no matter what is happening outside the house, the man, the woman cannot function properly. And therefore, brothers and sisters, our Sharia, understanding this reality, after all, Allah created us in this manner, has told us how to attain happiness within marriages. And no doubt, much can be said and much should be said. Time limits us to only a few points. And brothers and sisters, I want to reiterate over here that it is imperative that every single one of you reads about what Allah has said about marriage. What the Prophet has said about marriage. What our scholars have said about marriage. Learn how is the best way to have marriage. What is the best way to treat a woman? How should a woman treat her husband? One khutbah, 10 khutbahs, 100 khutbahs cannot do the justice that you will do when you read up and you take classes and study from people who are qualified to teach you. Learn how do I have a good marriage in my life. So that inshaAllah ta'ala, your happiness in that area can increase. In this short khutbah, I just want to illustrate a few small points that the Sharia has emphasized. Let us begin with the rights that the husband has over his wife. How should the wife treat the husband? And there is no doubt, brothers and sisters, that our religion has been very clear here. That our religion has said that the wife must treat the husband with the type of respect that is not going to be reciprocated. Rather, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. This is very clear, brothers and sisters. No matter what society is saying, no matter what the broader public is saying, our Sharia is very clear. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Men are qawwam over women. وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. Men have one degree above women. This is a verse in the Quran. It doesn't matter how politically incorrect it is. It doesn't matter what the broader public says. Our Quran, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken. And anybody who believes in this book needs to understand this reality. And what is this reality? Men are qawwam over women. What is qawwam? Qawwam has many meanings. We'll illustrate only or concentrate only two in today's khutbah. Number one, men are in charge of taking care of women. Meaning, who gets to pay the rent? Who has to pay the bills? Who will pay for the food? Who will pay for the groceries? Who will manage? الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُ. Qawwam means qa'im. He is the one that is responsible at the end of the day. It is the man who must take care of the responsibilities. And this is something the Sharia, we all know this. It is the man who must pay for his wife's food, his wife's rent, his wife's maintenance, his wife's clothes. Not the other way around. Now, if the couple agrees and the wife says, I want to work and I'll also help, that's fine. But who is obliged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is the man. When the man has responsibilities in this regard, so he also gets privileges as well. The one who pays also has some respect as well. And so qawwam also means the decision maker. Qawwam also means the one in charge, not just of paying the bills, the one in charge of steering the ship, the one in charge of literally managing the marriage. And so, no doubt the husband and wife have the right to differ, disagree, they can go back and forth, but in the end, no ship can be led by two captains. No car can be driven by two people. In the end, there must be one person who has that authority over the other. And the Sharia is very clear. وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Men do have that degree over women. And therefore, this translates into modern language as a very simple point, brothers and sisters. And by the way, much has been written even by non-Muslims in this regard. Once upon a time in the 60s and 70s, there was this philosophy that men and women should be absolutely equal, absolutely partners, this and that, and society saw that was not the right way. Divorces skyrocketed. Divorces not just quadrupled, divorces increased by 10 times what they were in the 30s and 40s. And there is now a new wave amongst the non-Muslims that is calling for old values to be resurrected. That they're saying that, and there are many books written, and I have read many of these, and I've given lectures about this. These are people that don't believe in the Quran, but they're preaching the same message through bitter experience. What is that message? What men require in the end of the day is one simple word. When they get it, they become the best husbands. What is that magic word? Respect. Respect. When the wife respects her husband, when the wife gives that izzah, that she trusts her husband to take care of her, she trusts the decision of her husband, she literally lets herself go, says, you're in charge. Then the man feels like a man. And the man feels like, I will do my best, I'm going to give it my 110% because my wife has trusted me, my wife has respected me. But when the wife double guesses, when the wife, instead of becoming a wife, becomes the mother, nobody wants to marry a mother figure. When the wife becomes the mother, she starts micromanaging, she starts doing what the husband's supposed to do, then guess what? The husband says, forget it, khalas, you take charge. And he doesn't be a man anymore. Why? Because his manhood has been insulted by his wife. When his wife wants to take over this job, no, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ. And there are many, as I said, books written about this. And there's a famous feminist, her name is Laura Doyle, that she went through two marriages. And she wrote a very interesting book in her third marriage. And she said, I used to be a hardcore feminist. I used to argue every point. I would not agree to anything the husband said. And I went through two bitter divorces. And I wondered why this is. And then she said, I changed my philosophy. And I became somebody that is feminine. Rather than trying to be masculine, I became feminine. And my third marriage is the best marriage. My husband loves me to bits. He takes care of me. Why? Because I've handed everything that is a man responsibility over to him. I don't nitpick, I don't groan, I don't complain. I do what a wife is supposed to do, and that is respect her husband. She is a non-Muslim. She's not even a Christian. She's just writing from an agnostic perspective. And from her own experiences, when she respected her husband, what happened? The husband became the loving husband that she wanted. And an example of this respect is that common hadith that everybody knows, that the issue of intimacy and romance, that when the man wants this issue, when the man calls for his wife, we all know the famous hadith that when the wife says no to this issue, that Allah curses her and the angels curse her. Now why? Why? A lot of sisters say, well, why? This is not fair. How come every time he calls I have to respond? See, it's not an issue of the bedroom, it's not an issue of intimacy and romance. It's an issue of respect. That the man is calling you, and the man wants you, and you turn the other cheek and say, no, I don't care, I'm not in the mood, go. I don't want to do it right now. It's a matter of the height of disrespect. That when the husband is calling, and the wife says, no, I don't want you. And that damages the marriage like nothing else. Because the man's respect has been hurt, and this is something the Sharia has been very explicit about. And therefore, brothers and sisters, the main point that I want to emphasize here, the rights that the husband has over the wife is the right of respect. And this is demonstrated in that infamous hadith. I say infamous because people have misused it, people have abused it, people find it problematic. But the essence of the hadith illustrates this point, and that is what? The Prophet ﷺ said, I have forbidden any person to bow down in front of another. It's haram for any person to lower their head, bow down in front of another. But if I were to open this door, then I would have said that the wife should bow down in front of her husband because of the maqam, the rights that the husband has over her. Now think about, what is this hadith here? We're not allowed to bow down. It's haram to bow down in front of another person. But the Prophet is saying, if I were to open this door, who has the right the most to be shown respect? It is the husband. And I explain and I reiterate, when the husband is shown that respect, he will show the love that the wife wants. He will adore his wife. And frankly, I shouldn't say this too explicitly because our sisters will misuse and abuse this, but wallahi sisters, if you truly understood the power you can have over your husband when you show him this love and respect, in reality, your husband will become your slave. Your husband will become your servant. If you give him that respect, then wallahi, every wish will become his beck and call. Every desire of yours, he will race to do it. But when you rebuke, when you curse him, when you show him an attitude, then why will he do it for you? But when you show him the respect, then wallahi, he will do everything that you want. And that is the human nature of the man. Now what is the second half of this? That is the rights of the wife over the husband. What should the wife expect from the husband? The Sharia, of course, obligates taking care of her needs. This is the main obligation. But the Sharia also obligates good manners, treating her with the love that she wants. What does the wife want the most from the husband? That closeness, that love, that adoration. The wife always wants to be reminded that her husband still loves her. And this is the biggest problem of husbands. They don't understand that women never take love for granted. Women, that's why they love it when the husband brings flowers. They love it when the husband takes them out on a romantic date. Romantic date between couples, don't misquote me, right? Husband and wife can go on a date, right? When the husband shows them remember we got married on this day, and brings them some gift on this day. Why do the wives love it? Because it shows them over and over again, my husband still loves me. My husband still cares about me. And wives love it when their husbands show that closeness. Problems that husbands have, they should share with their wives. Because a lot of men, and I'm guilty of this as well, we like to bottle up. It's not in our nature to share our problems. But you see, when we don't share our problems, women feel we're leaving them out of the picture. Wives, the one thing that they want the most from their husbands is that connection, that emotional connection, that feeling that my husband truly loves me and cares about me. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the man, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat women with dignity and respect. With ma'roof, treat women in kindness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِسْقَوْسُ بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. I command you to treat women with khayr. I command you, اِسْقَوْسُ. I command you to treat women in kindness, in goodness. And we see from the life of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how he was with his wives. Aisha says that the Prophet sallallahu would not like to talk after Isha. After Isha, in those days, they would just go to sleep and they would not have a late evening. Unfortunately, we don't have the sunnah, we have late evening. But she said, he would speak with me in bed until the late night. The woman loves this, that the husband opens up to her, tells her the problem, because that's the emotional connection. That the Aisha saying, and the Prophet would speak to me until late night, but he would not speak with the other men. This is not the time for socialization in those days. So in our days, we need to literally cut out some time, private time for the couple. Every evening, every day, there should be a few minutes where just the husband and wife, they reconnect, they explain what is happening, the problems, the issues. Are the very last khutbah that our Prophet gave, the khutbatul wada', in front of 100,000 men. What did he say? He said that verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you your wives. This is a blessing from Allah. Allah has given you your wives. And Allah has made them halal for you. So treat them well and respect their honor. And you have no way or you have no right to harm them. Their right over you is that you take care of them with ma'roof, with good manners. This is the last khutbah that the Prophet is giving in front of 100,000 people. Khutbatul wada'. That I command you to treat women with kindness and good. Allah has given them to you. They are your responsibilities. Physically, emotionally, generally speaking, the man is superior to the woman. Physically, he's stronger. Emotionally, he can take more. And so women are fragile. Men need to understand this. What did our Prophet describe women as? He described women as being delicate. He does delicate ornaments, delicate, fragile glasses. He described them as being delicate. Brothers and sisters, a hard word, a harsh word, a vile curse can sometimes hurt the heart of a woman even more than a physical hurt. Sometimes saying something mean can hurt her more for months and years than even a physical hurt. And so brothers, Allah has given you added responsibility. And realize, our Prophet ﷺ said, 3 dinars, 3 gold coins, one of them you spend for charity, the other you spend for freeing a slave, and the third you spend on your wife. The most rewarded is the one you spend on your wife. Brothers, pay attention to this. Many of us are stingy when it comes to our family. We will give, mashallah, tabarakallah, to good causes, and we should, wallahi. And we will spend on ourselves and our clothes. What did our Prophet ﷺ say? Even freeing a slave, which we know how much it is in the Quran, spending it on your wife is more blessing. You see, when you get a gift for your wife, when you spend some money on her, she feels loved. She feels, my husband cares about me. And that love she will reciprocate in respect. Notice, and I'll be very explicit here, the man wants from his wife, respect. And the wife wants from her husband, love and adoration. And, listen to this now, when the man gets respect, he will show love. When the wife gets love, she will show respect. It's a cycle, brothers and sisters. It is a cycle. When you give what your wife will give you what you want. Wives, when you give your husband what he wants, he will give you what you want. Love and respect. And the two of this go hand in hand in a successful marriage. And I have to mention one more point before I finish the first khutbah. And there's a taboo topic. It's a very topic that is not mentioned publicly. Yet it must be mentioned. And I have to be very explicit here. And that is the issue of marital violence. That is the issue of marital and spousal abuse. Brothers, and this is a common problem amongst brothers, obviously, the opposite does exist, but it is rare, it is the exception. Primarily, it is men who physically abuse women. Brothers, listen to this, that once the Prophet ﷺ stood up, and he gave a general khutbah, and he prohibited men, prohibited them from beating their wives. And this was in a culture where every man used to hit his wife. The Sharia came, and he said, you are not supposed, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not beat your women. So after a few weeks, after a few months, The women, realizing that none of their husbands would beat them, so they became a little bit arrogant and cocky, their tongues became too sharp. And so Umar came to the Prophet, and you know Umar, the mizaj of Umar. And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, the women have become too sharp. Their rebukes are too much. It's too much now. You have told us not to do it. Now the women have the upper hand, we're not allowed to do it." So the hadith says, رَخَّصَ النَّبِي. The Prophet gave a laxity. That okay, it's okay if they become very angry or very vulgar, then it's okay. The next morning, 50 women came to the house of Aisha, complaining about their husbands, that their husbands had beat them. 50 women are gathered outside the house. And the Prophet ﷺ gave another khutbah that day. And he warned them and cautioned them about beating their wives. And he said, today, 50 women came to me complaining about their husbands. These men are not the best of you. These men are not the best of you. And our Prophet ﷺ said, hadith is in Abu Dawud, how could one of you beat your wife like you beat an animal? Look, you don't beat a human being. How could one of you beat your wife? You beat a stubborn horse. You beat a stubborn camel. How could one of you beat your wife like you beat an animal? Perhaps the same evening you will go and be intimate with her. In other words, he's saying, be a gentleman. Be a human. How could you treat your woman like you would treat a stubborn camel or a stubborn horse or something? How could one of you do this? And Aisha says that, wallahi, never once did the Prophet's hand ever touch a woman. Except if he was in the battle and you're defending yourself, that's a warrior woman. Not any domestic abuse. Never once did the Prophet ﷺ hit any of his wives. And we have in the messenger of the Prophet ﷺ, we have the perfect example. Brothers in Islam, anybody who beats his wife, wallahi, any man who beats his wife is not a man. Any man who raises his hand against a woman and beats her in this manner, our Prophet ﷺ has explicitly said, these are not the best of Muslims. He himself said, the best of you are those who treat their wives the best, and I am the one who treats my wives the best. That is the sunnah we have in the messenger of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu lakum fi Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min ayat wa dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah azim li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin kullam fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafur. الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Brothers and sisters, realize that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself went through some ups and downs with his own wives, and Quran was revealed about some of those arguments. We recite them to this day. Surah Tahrim and others are an example here, and Surah Ahzab. Even our Prophet ﷺ had some disputes, some arguments here and there. Now, I want to ask you a simple question. Why? Why? Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to have some domestic arguments back and forth? Aisha's voice being raised, Hafsa's asking for this. This is in the household of the Prophet ﷺ. Why? If Allah had wanted to, couldn't He have made a perfect marriage between the Prophet and his wives? Yes! So why did He make them a marriage that has its ups and downs? I will tell you why. Because if He had made such a perfect marriage, how could we benefit from the sunnah of the Prophet? The very fact that Aisha and the Prophet had their ups and downs, it brings a big consolation. Brothers and sisters, the perfect marriage is a marriage that has ups and downs. There is no such thing as a marriage that doesn't have problems. No such thing. Every couple is going to have an argument. Every couple is going to have a period where they need to calm down. Every couple. Even our Prophet ﷺ, for 1 month, he had to leave his house and sleep in the masjid. Notice, by the way, men, he's the one who left. How dare any man expel his wife from the house? How dare any man kick his wife out? You have an argument? You go sleep on the sofa. You have an argument? You go sleep in the masjid. Not your wife. She's the delicate. She's the one you need to protect. No matter how bad it gets, you're the one that will leave, not her. You leave her in her place of security. You never tell her to exit the house. Unless, of course, in the exceptional scenarios where some major evil has been done. Otherwise, general disputes, if it gets that bad, you're the one who sleeps on the sofa, not her. You're the one who goes to the masjid, like our Prophet ﷺ. Still in this, there is karama, there is dignity for the woman. She gets to stay, you can calm down, and then you go back and resolve the issue. Brothers and sisters, every marriage has its ups and downs. But the point is, the goal is, there are more ups than downs. And one of the biggest problems we have, and I've given a khutbah 2 weeks ago about this, which is online now. One of the biggest problems we have, and with this I'll have to finish up because of the time. Our young brothers and sisters, those especially who have been born and raised here, or immigrated when they were very young and they basically grew up in the Western culture, they have no idea what a real marriage is. They have absorbed the concept of marriage from Bollywood dramas, from Hollywood movies, from Twilight and these types of ridiculous books. And they think that marriage is just what they see on TV. So when they get married, and they see that their married life is nothing like the romance movie that they saw, they begin to think something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with my wife. SubhanAllah, brothers and sisters, if you don't believe the TV about Islam, if you don't believe the TV about terrorism and Muslims, why would you believe TV about romance and marriage? Every marriage has its ups and downs. Every couple will raise their voices and argue in their lifetimes. Multiple times throughout the year. It is impossible that a healthy marriage doesn't have some healthy disagreement. But when that happens, there's a methodology, there's a way, there's psychology. And this is beyond the scope of this khutbah. But study, research. I have given classes on this. Khutbahs are there. I have a long, intensive class about the issue of Islamic intimacy and romance. This needs to be taught and understood. Don't feel shy to read and ask others about this. And realize, brothers and sisters, realize that the married couple, they are on the same team. A lot of times, husbands and wives, they want to fight each other, and each one wants to win. Brothers and sisters, if you win an argument by losing the marriage, both of you will lose. If you win an argument by losing the marriage, both of you are losers. You're on the same team together. The couple is on the same team. Each team has to compromise. Each member has to compromise. Once the husband compromises, once the wife compromises, you don't have to win every single argument. For the sake of the children, for the sake of marriage, both couples need to calm down. And our Prophet ﷺ has given, the Quran has given so much advice. First and foremost, and inshallah just a few points that we conclude. Number one, brothers and sisters, you are not perfect. Why do you expect your spouse to be perfect? You are not perfect. You have your faults. You have your anger. You have your tongue. You have your harsh words. If you have it, why do you expect your spouse to be completely free of this? Just like you get angry, she will also get angry. Just like you say something bad, sometimes he will say something bad. So learn to forgive and forget. Learn to overlook for the greater good of the marriage. Also realize, every one of you has faults, and every one of you has good things as well. Our Prophet ﷺ said, let no Muslim man hate his Muslim wife. Meaning, and there's both Islam in common between you. Let no man hate his wife. Because even if he hates one quality, he will love other qualities. Meaning, don't be so narrow-minded. Suppose she spends a little bit more than you want her to spend. Suppose. Okay, maybe she does. But how about the love she shows you? How about the care she has for the children? Everybody has their faults. So look at the positive rather than the negative. Also, express your anger in a polite manner. Express the frustration directly. Solve it within the household. And express why are you irritated, why is it, and express it in a polite manner so that the other party understands. And if the situation gets beyond this, then Allah says in the Quran, go to arbitration. Let the couples find two people, one that is sympathetic to the man's side, one that is sympathetic to the woman's side. Two elders in the community, two people that have more experience in this regard. And let each of them come and then resolve the problem. فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. And then Allah says in the Quran, and listen to this brothers and sisters, any couple that is going through a problem, and all couples go through problems, listen to this promise in the Quran. إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يوفق الله بينهما. If they truly want a successful marriage and they want reconciliation, Allah will bring about that reconciliation. There is a guarantee in the Quran, brothers and sisters. There is a guarantee that when the couple wants to make the marriage work, guess what? Allah will make it work. Both parties need to come to the table with the niyyah that this marriage will work, and Allah has promised it will work. I conclude by reminding myself and all of you of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the best believers in their iman are those who are the best in their manners, and the best of you in their manners are those who are the best to their wives. It's very easy to be polite in the masjid. It's very easy to be polite in your work. It's very easy to be polite in society. The real politeness is the politeness of the household. When the door is locked and nobody sees you other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of you are those who are best in their manners, and the best of you in their manners are the best to their wives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. اللهم إني داعي فأمنه اللهم لا تدع في هذا اليوم ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا عسيرا إلا يسرته اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدبيره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز عباد الله إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة.